You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Today's episode is sponsored by DraftKings. Stay tuned because you'll hear more about DraftKings and all it has to offer throughout the show. DraftKings, the crown is yours.
I don't believe it's possible for Tony to look much less like Jerry Seinfeld. He's got...
What's the deal with that?
He's got a little bit of Josh Brolin in him and a hint of mariachi. There's a hint, there's an undercurrent of Mexican in there somewhere, but it's not Jerry Seinfeld.
I heard I was Dennis playing Jerry Seinfeld from Always Sunny. That's what the derivative is.
Okay, well, Jerry Seinfeld, it is not. You can wander the earth. In fact, your punishment today at some point should be to wander the streets and say, who am I? And see if anyone in Miami correctly guesses that you're meant to look like Jerry Seinfeld. Because your mustache, I think, is undoing the entirety of the thing. Jerry Seinfeld, you can't imagine him with a mustache. Happy Greg Cody Tuesday to everyone. Somebody writes in, take anything on the show, add more Greg Cody, and I'm in. Well, you'll be happy there with today's show.
Yes.
So you got my email.
We got a pop-off with Greg Cody. He is now calling him, what are you calling yourself as a nickname? The Corn King?
The Corn King.
Oh, boy.
Works on several levels.
Put it on the poll, please, at Le Batard Show. Can you ever be someone who makes the greatest popcorn when you're using the microwave?
Whoa, shots fired. That is the best way to make popcorn. You know, old-timey skillets. Who does that? I haven't used a skillet for popcorn since my dorm room at FAU in 1978. Jiffy Pop.
It's not a skillet. It's going to be abuela's cazuela. It's okay. What are you coming up with a skillet from? Skillet?
Yeah. Like a shake and bake is what he's saying, right?
Right.
Something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The methodology.
How did your elaboration make me understand less what he was talking about? Like, how did your clarification on skillet, like a shake and bake, I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Shake and bake was like, it was prepared in a skillet-like thing, wasn't it? Like a tin? Like a little... Wasn't it?
No.
Are you thinking
no.
of Jiffy Pop?
Maybe I am. I have no idea.
Shake and bake is not popcorn.
Chicken.
The delicious chicken.
You're talking about the popcorn that Drew Barrymore was setting up at the start of Scream.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
But it's not
here for you.
But it's not shake and bake.
It is absolutely not shake and bake. But I was trying to piece together
whatever. You know what I'm talking about. Right. Thank you.
Yeah, barely. I got there.
I do like that. I do like the concept of baked popcorn. That would be interesting to try.
Just for the audience, so that it can truly experience what my Tuesdays are like, a skillet would be damn near impossible to make popcorn in. It would just pop all over the room. A skillet, I don't believe, has a top. And then Stugatz's helpful correction was how to bake chicken.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what we're dealing with.
I mean, skillet's kind of close to a cazuela. It's derivative.
Not. Okay, I have made...
It's closer to a wok than it is a skillet, but mm-hmm. I can see how someone would call it a skillet. I don't know how someone would call it a shake and bake, but here we are.
I have made popcorn in a skillet. Okay, it's not impossible. What you do is you cover the skillet with tinfoil and then poke a hole in the tin foil to let steam out.
Why aren't you doing it that way instead of the microwave?
Because it's labor intensive.
Don't you want to win?
I intend to win.
You will win.
The methodology is not important. What's important is the type of popcorn you use, and I use the Cadillac, and then the ingredients, and you know, making sure you don't burn the popcorn, which you can do in a microwave if it's 10 seconds too long.
Don't shame Greg Cody. It's not like we got the Top Chef set out there. We got a hot plate.
Barely. Today I want you to call me Greg Corny. That's going to be my name.
We do.
Today. Okay.
If that is not Greg Cody's just general late life career for him to say, you know what, doing it best is labor intensive. Why would I want to do anything ever that's labor intensive?
The point is, it's like too much effort for no gain back. You know what I mean? Like I can paint my wall with a small 1-inch wide brush if I want to, but I would rather use a roller and get it done more efficiently and quicker. You know, so we're not in a race here. I mean, you know, you taking longer to make your popcorn doesn't gain you any points. That kind of thing.
Dan thinks the longer it takes, the better the popcorn.
I know.
It's weird.
Yeah, right. Somebody told him that, and he believed it.
Low and slow.
I would generally say that the most fulfilling things, the things that feel most fulfilling, tend to be difficult, tend to be labor intensive. Okay. That's what the reward of fulfillment is.
Not sex.
Well, if you're at all interested in someone other than yourself, then yes, sex as well.
Seven seconds, boom.
If you're only interested in yourself and being Rick Pitino in a restaurant, then yes. But if you're interested in anyone else other than yourself, and I have no proof that anyone in this room ever thinks of anyone other than themselves.
Including you, huh?
I have no proof that anyone in this room thinks of anyone other than themselves, but you cannot, Stugatz, for a second, accuse me of thinking more of myself than you think of yourself. Like, you can't accuse anyone of that. You are...
That's totally fair. Thank you, by the way.
We could have a Guinness World Book record holder person come through here and judge however those things are judged, and I think this would be per square foot on the globe. I have more narcissism per square foot on the globe than any place in sports media.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Tony wants to, after seeing Amin's jump shot yesterday, Tony wants to have some sort of sports media scouting combine.
Dan, I was made incredibly sad. I was made sad, and I was telling Mike before the show started, I was made very sad when I saw Amin's jumper. Amin is like a brother to me. I love Amin. We've done a bunch of great stuff together. When I saw that jumper, I was like, wow, okay, we need to reevaluate what we're doing here. I think Amin's basketball takes are great, but when you have a jumper like that, it puts into question a lot of the things that are happening. I think on social media, there's a lot of people saying, hey, look, how can we take Amin seriously when he's got a jumper that looks like he shoots with his offhand?
You've never had one get away from you? Come on, man.
Not like that.
It's a small sample we're looking at.
No, not like that.
No, it's not the miss. The miss is not
everybody
all concerning. He hadn't played basketball in a while. You're calibrating. That's fine. The form. Oh, that was heartbreaking to watch.
It made me sad. So I thought to myself, you know what? I don't want to be that guy, but I think we need to put some sort of limit and some sort of test together, right? You remember the presidential thing in elementary school where you had to make the presidential list? You could do like six pull-ups.
Yeah.
You could touch your toes.
Yeah, there
you
was red and blue patches. Yeah.
Right.
Arnold Schwarzenegger's thing.
Exactly. Yeah. I think we need to do something like that for sports media, where if your jumper looks a certain way, you can't really talk about people in the NBA.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I was in a group chat, and everybody was talking about Anthony Edwards' dunk last night, and he chimed in with an opinion saying, that's not a dunk. And honestly, I internalized that. Like, why would I listen to this person?
It means less.
I don't find you credible anymore.
I mean, it wasn't a dunk. It wasn't a dunk. It was a throw-in.
I didn't even care enough to tell him that I didn't care about his opinion. That's how bad his shot was.
Mm. A lot of guys talking about quarterbacks, and they can't win in the big time, and they're doing this wrong, and they can't throw 25 yards in a spiral. Like, we need to put together all the people that talk about sports, line them up.
Wow.
Let's see you do certain things. I want to see you shoot a 25-foot jumper. I want to see you throw a 25-yard out pattern. Let's start making people... Let's see who's who in the sports media
world. Also, it was a dunk. He cut his hand on the rim. It's a dunk.
Can we start? I've got a number of things here. Can we start before we do the scouting combine for sports media people? How well do you think this group, do you think anyone here would pass even the sixth grade presidential challenge?
I'm going to look up exactly what it is.
Because I think it's a lot of pull-ups.
Yeah, and pull-ups back in the day.
Pull-ups have never been a strength for me.
I think that would be hard for our group. Amin, I also want to ask the audience at Levitard Show, did Amin devalue his takes with that one jump shot? Because Amin also says that Anthony Edwards shot last night was not a dunk. He's calling it an aggressive floater. An aggressive floater, because he says you got to hit your hand on the rim, but he did dislocate his finger.
I happen to agree with Amin on that. You have to put hand on rim for it to be a dunk. Otherwise, you're throwing
it down. What did he dislocate his finger on? Wasn't it the rim?
You're saying bounce back of the ball is where he dislocated his finger. So if you watch him dunk it, the ball goes through the rim, and then it comes back and then hits him in the hand. So it's actually on the throw-in. He keeps his hand out. The ball hits him, and then that's where he dislocates
it. He's saying that he threw it through the cylinder before his hand made contact with the rim, therefore it's not a dunk. It looks like a dunk to me. Yeah. Matter of fact, it looks like the greatest dunk to me.
It's either, this is a big wide gulf here on sports debate, all right, put it on the poll, at Levitard Show, was it the greatest dunk ever, or was it just an aggressive floater? Because there is a big...
Greatest dunk ever, or not a dunk?
There's a big gap there between the two things.
Poor John Collins, man.
Yeah.
If you think what happened to Collins is bad, wait till you saw what happened to Austin Reeves.
We're going to get to that sound in a second, but I just want to ask the group here, at the risk of being prisoner of the moment, Anthony Edwards is not even 6'5", right? I understand the Dwayne Wade comparisons, because at that height, I don't think I have ever seen a player who jumps like that. He hit his head on the backboard the other day, blocking a shot to end a game. He's the reason the Timberwolves are going to be great for a long time. The way that he gets up, even Mike Conley, who's got, you know, nearly 20 years in the league, is saying he jumps kind of like a cat, where he keeps going up and then somehow lands on one foot and doesn't hurt himself. I just don't think I've seen anyone that size get that generally high when jumping.
He's listed as 6'4", and you're right about Conley, because he's seen everyone dunk, everyone in the history of the NBA, so he would know. He's an expert. But he's listed as 6'4". Ja Morant is the guy that comes to mind.
Yeah.
Small guy who jumps very high.
Yeah, Ja Morant is even smaller and slighter, but I haven't seen Ja Morant hit his head on a rim blocking, making a shot.
Well, we haven't seen Ja Morant, period.
That's
in a while.
Right.
Did you know that Mike Conley Jr. never had a technical foul?
Yeah, we did that as a stat of the day a couple of weeks ago. 17 years, no technical.
Still blown away.
He had one rescinded back in 2014. Incredible. You guys do a good show if you already mentioned that.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Don Levitard.
We got Afrini Hardaway.
Afrini? Who was Afrini Hardaway?
I was trying to read fast. UD was on the team. Luke Jackson. Bobby Jones. The Matrix, Sean Marion.
Stugatz.
Zoe, Shaq, Smush Parker, Chris Quinn,
wait a minute.
D Wade,
wait a minute.
Jason Williams, Darrell Wright. I mean, stacked roster.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugats.
I've got the 6 different exercises for the Presidential Fitness Challenge.
Let's go.
We've got sit-ups. We've got a shuttle run. We've got the V-sit reach. We've got 1 mile run, pull-ups, and a right angle push-up.
But what is the time and number? Because the run was under 8 minutes, under 7 minutes, under 9 minutes.
So if we're doing it at the closest age to like the exit, which is 17, like that's the cutoff for the Presidential Challenge, a 6 minute mile, 6:06 is what you need to run.
Jesus.
You need to do 53. I can
get there, but it'll
hold
kill
on. I'm going to go the whole way down. So sit-ups, you need to do 55 consecutive sit-ups.
Wow.
You need to do an 8.7 shuttle run. You need to do a 7-inch sit reach. You need to do a 6-minute mile, 13 pull-ups, and 53 consecutive
push-ups. I can see your face right now. I'm not doing this.
No, but you can't do a 6-minute mile. You're wrong.
No, yeah, okay, you're not going to shame me. I'm flatly not doing
this. Nobody say they can do all of those things.
Nobody volunteer that you can do this. Dan will try to kill you on the air.
There is no one here who can run a 6-minute mile. There's no one here who can do that.
I disagree. I think of all of those events, the 6-minute mile, and I believe it was 6:06. I need those extra 6 seconds. I believe that sounded like the most doable of all, to be honest.
Really?
No, I'm serious.
I honestly think I could do most of these, but the V-sit, no shot. No shot.
I think you guys are underestimating, if you have not done any running recently, how difficult it would be for you to run
a mile. It's only a mile. That's
lucky if you do 20.
Greg, we will not ask you to do it just because I would fear for your health running in those boat shoes of yours.
That's all I brought, or else I would. If I had my snakes, I'd volunteer
to do
it right now.
You couldn't do under 11 minutes.
Have a cardiologist running in step with me.
You couldn't do a mile without stopping.
I think I could.
If I do 13 pull-ups, a hernia will pop out.
Greg, how is it that you're this delusional? I thought that I had the world record holder for delusion on my left. How is it that you don't understand that you're 70? You're near 70 years old.
I have an athletic bone in my body.
Single one.
That's right, just one.
It's funny, Bill.
For example, when Tony was talking, I had a Silky J back in the day. Right?
I'm sure you did.
I could make a jump shot back in the day when I played a lot of hoops. So I could go on a court right now, and I wouldn't be as good.
Greg.
I'm more of a set shot now than a jump shot.
That day was the 1920s.
No. Put me on a court right now. And I will out Amin in terms of my form, my style.
I'm with Greg Corny on this one. The Celtics won about 17 titles playing those types of dudes.
There you go. That's right.
So better than Amin means, because you have to understand that Amin looked like he was having something between a seizure and an epileptic fit with what was happening. Just his hand was.
Well,
like,
it's Ramadan, Dan.
That's right. He hadn't eaten anything, and that was because he'd been fasting. What happened with Amin was seizure adjacent on the hand. It felt a little seizure-y. So for you to say that you would have been better than Amin El-Hassan and his sprawling, gnarled demon hands is not saying much.
All I'm saying is that if you watch me take a jump shot, after a little bit of a warm-up, in fairness, after you watch me take a jump shot, you nod like a bobblehead and you say to yourself, that's a guy who's played. Back in the day when he was younger, that's a guy who would not be the last draft pick in a pickup game.
So, Gotch, yesterday I had some people come after me because a couple of my takes. One of them, I was making fun of Zach Edey and just also basketball in general by saying that Zach Edey in 1984 would have been drafted before Michael Jordan. And he is...
funny. Yeah,
7-10.
I like this take.
No, but Purdue fans are so mad at me for... They're finally good at something, okay?
Yeah.
Way to go, Shannon Sharp, taking all number one seeds in both tournaments. but Purdue is good at basketball, and they're good at basketball because this guy is bigger and stronger than everyone else, gets fouled, and
certainly not faster than anyone else.
It's unaesthetically pleasing, and it's unathletically pleasing.
Yeah, he's not going to make it to the pros because he's not fleet of foot, but he's a really good college player, a tremendous inside presence with a tremendous size advantage.
I know, but what I don't like watching is him plant himself in the key and then just throw it like he's 4 feet basket.
Where I don't like it is with Wembanyama, yeah. Because I can see, oh, this guy's a giant, oh, but he can't move. So, yeah, you go do your thing, because that's usually how big men do it. Yeah, I'll dominate a 6'4" center. But, Wembanyama's a totally different animal.
Why are you bringing up Wembanyama?
Because I know I'm exposing a hypocrisy where I'm, like, all about this big stiff. Where I'm, like, with Wembanyama, I'm, like, he's way too tall. And he is way too tall.
No, but Wembanyama is also not physically stiff
Unfair. That's why it's unfair. See, make him like Zach Edey, and we're good.
Okay, so make him like Zach Edey playing against what looks like student managers.
Right. Yes, perfect. That's great basketball.
Just turns around yourself in the page. Yes.
That is great basketball right there. That is good.
Are you guys telling me there is no place in the NBA for Zach Edey?
Yeah, no, maybe the bench.
Wow, like, he's 25 a game.
There's no way, dude.
No way.
Have you watched him?
No way.
No, that's a dumb question.
He's just
footwork isn't there.
He can't. He's very slow.
He's an anchor.
He's got anchors. He should wear air anchors. But
great college player. Has a skill set and dominates his skill set. There's reasons why. Look, like there's a reason why he's still in college. It's because his pro prospects aren't great because of his footwork.
But the two takes that people are mad at me on, and this is just Purdue fans, which I did not know that they were this loud and aggressive, and I understand it. Purdue has not been great at stuff in sports.
It's also a cradle of basketball right there.
But they're proud of their basketball, and they've got a 7'5 person who looks like college player of the year for the last couple of years because he's 7'5. And everyone wants one of those when he scores 30 points a game, 20 on foul shots, because he's just got student managers hanging from his armpit hair. It is giant in a way that's unusual. But the other take that I'm surprised people are objecting to, because I watched it happen all weekend. I know that social media is is a toxic dump for bile and hatred, but I'm just not used to seeing Adam Silver criticized this way. And when I look at what hockey is doing right now as a sport in terms of exciting its fan base, and what I see basketball is doing comparatively, I understand how it is that I'm suddenly hearing, for what feels like the first time, that basketball has a leadership problem, because they didn't have one with David Stern, and Adam Silver is and has been one of the most popular commissioners, but people are unhappy enough with the sport that they're doing things like blaming Adam Silver for shot clock problems and pointing out, hey, don't you have a watch as one of your biggest sponsors, and you can't get time and refereeing right?
I think the biggest concern is everything in sports is up. It's a booming time for sports. We're in the middle of a live rights renaissance because sports are drawing crowds. Their revenue is up across the board. Everyone is doing well. And the only numbers that are of huge concern are the national TV games when it comes to basketball.
Why do you think that is, though?
Basketball.
Why do you think the numbers are down, though?
I have a couple of theories. And I think right now the sport of basketball is kind of where baseball was a couple of years ago, in that they found a way to manipulate the current set of rules. The game evolved to a certain point that the rules became outdated. And the NBA has gone through this. They've added stuff before, and they were usually, a couple of decades ago, this was one of those leagues that was considered progressive in terms of innovation. The court is too small. The three-point line is too close. We've lost, not to sound like Bob Ryan, but there is no place for Zach Edey in the league anymore because everyone's just bombing away from three. And you see the type of athletes out there. Wembanyama's out there, and it looks cartoonish on the court that they're playing on. But the revenue is with those courtside seats. So they have to decide something in the way that baseball just massively overhauled its rules, and to the better of the game, I think.
Football too.
Yeah, I think we're at that point, and have been for a couple of years with the NBA, and they need to do something drastic with the rules.
I do think too, from a macro view, that it's better for the NBA when the Lakers and the Warriors are really good, instead of Minnesota and Denver.
But they have the Celtics.
But they've been good. They've been relevant enough. I know that the Lakers missed the playoffs, but they're on the West Coast. that those stars being on the West Coast, I guess you can. I don't think it's one thing.
I hate that argument, by the way. Like that regions still matter in the internet age when we're all connected and stuff. I get why you'd want the Knicks to be relevant. You want your big franchises to be great, but don't be afraid to learn something. I mean, you just saw what Anthony Edwards did last night. There ain't nobody doing that.
Yeah, but he did it in Utah.
But if you're the new, if you're the baseball commissioner, would you rather have the Yankees be really good or Seattle?
The Yankees, of course.
You want marquee teams to be marquee teams.
But you have that now. The Celtics are a marquee team. You have the Knicks as a really good team. Yeah. You have some of those teams you want.
That helps.
Big markets, they're good right now.
Right, but the Celtics are best known for the team that should win.
I just hate it. Okay. Like, that's what you need. You need four big market teams to make your sport relevant when your sport has been relevant for the last 40 years.
Without much of their help. I imagine it can help. I don't think it's one big thing. It's just a couple of years ago, this was a global sport positioned as good as anyone except for maybe soccer. It was the number two global sport on the planet. And in its home country, we're on a downward trajectory. And I really think, and it's not just regular season, because regular season is trash and the star players don't care about it. They've proven that. They've tried to take steps there to correct it. We're still not at a place. We're still looking at a postseason where we don't trust any of the top teams because no one's respecting this regular season. There's a lot of problems facing this sport, right, and not enough is being done about it when every other sport, including like women's basketball, women's pro basketball doesn't have the problems that the men's pro game does. It's screaming at you. These numbers are really troubling, and they're not doing nearly enough.
You also have the game's biggest star. Sorry, Greg.
Sorry.
They're old. LeBron, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant. Those guys are still the biggest stars in the league, and the best player in the league is not aesthetically pleasing. His game is not Nikola Jokic. It's not, and he seems like he's bored playing his own sport. I mean, Dan, he's your best player. He represents best player.
I love watching
him play.
In the postseason, not in the regular season.
I love watching him play, but I've got the solution. Just like football's solution is always more games, and baseball somehow, the commissioner of baseball got everything wrong except for he fixed baseball. And so he's going to be able to be okay. And here's Adam Silver's solution per The Athletic. The NBA is infusing betting into live games on NBA League Pass. The league and Sports Radar, a global data company, are rolling out a new option for League Pass viewers to be able to track betting odds on NBA games as they watch them on the app and then offer the ability to click through to wager through the NBA's betting partners, FanDuel and DraftKings.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Don Lebatard.
I got somebody here making fun of me. How old do you have to be to reference Shecky Green? Man, I went comedically there with the funny name of a comedian. Mm-hmm. That's on you for not knowing who Shecky Green is.
Oh, you gotta know who Shecky Green is.
No, you don't have to know who Shecky Green is, but
your ally.
I don't like my allies.
King
here.
Of the Borscht Belt.
Stugatz.
I have the soul of a Borscht Belt comedian. I should be in the Catskills in 1945. Opening for Shecky Green. That's who I was destined to be.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
Greg Cody is saying that the NIT is for losers.
Yes. All of the non-NCAA tournament things are. You know, the basketball invitational tournament. There's a new one, the women's BIT, I think it's called. Look, if you're throwing a parade to celebrate winning the NIT championship, there's no bigger loser in sports than that. There's 68 teams. If you're not one of the 68 teams, put away your sneakers, take the off season off. You don't need to continue to be playing just to say you're playing. I love it when you read about all these teams now that are turning down the NIT because what is the point?
You love that. It's a weird thing to love.
No, I do. I think it's right. You know, you got to draw the line somewhere. You know, you see all these sub-500 teams getting in the playoffs, in the postseason. For what? You know, draw the line somewhere. Not everybody needs a medal after the season.
in the women's game, the WBIT has actually supplanted the women's NIT as the second best of the tournaments that you can get into.
Right.
I did not know this, but the NCAA actually pays for you to host the WBIT, whereas if you accept an NIT invitation, you have to pay out of your own pocket to run those games, which is why the WBIT supplanted. All that being said, Miami earned a number one seed in that WBIT and still decided, no, we're not doing it. And I would love to know why, because I think it stands to reason that they're just raw by being screwed over by the committee.
Right, and they were. But if you're not, you know, 68 teams is enough.
Right.
I think all these other tournaments just dilute the sport. I'm just against them.
You okay?
He's having trouble with just finishing thoughts without running out of breath today.
I'm wondering the last time an NIT champion actually held a parade.
There are no parades for NIT champions.
I bet there are.
We'll get to Pablo Torre here in a second, but let's just hear from Tom Crean. He does not agree with Greg Cody at all.
There's no question about it. I would want to coach. I would want to develop my team. You've got bigger staffs than you've ever had. There's plenty of time for the portal. There's plenty of time to talk to recruits. There's plenty of time to negotiate NIL deals. There's not plenty of time to play. There's not plenty of time to get your players on the floor and give them a chance to get better. There's not plenty of time for guys to continue to play that may never get to play again. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, is absolutely ridiculous. It's each coach's choice. I get it. But if you take away a chance to play the games, to put your team on the floor, let them opt out. All right, the bowl season has it all the time. Let it happen. Who cares? Give your players and coaches a chance to keep coaching and playing. Wow. And don't shortchange. If a guy doesn't want to play, go sit out. If a coach doesn't want to coach, go recruit. But there's got to be enough people to put 5, 6, 7 people on the floor and go play. Makes absolutely zero sense to me.
I'm pretty sure that in 2018 or 2017, the NIT was supposed to be in Indiana, and Tom Crean said, I don't want it here.
Wait a second.
Yeah, no, that went viral yesterday.
Strong in him.
Some added context, the administration declined the invitation and fired Tom Crean the very next day.
Pablo, context, I would have done without, just I liked it my way better. Context, it's fairer. You're fairer with the context.
The internet liked it better Dan's way, but
I like this Dan Levitard.
Yeah, I like it better my way. Pablo, your thoughts. Pablo Torre Finds Out is a podcast that I continue to tell you is climbing up the charts because it's doing something different than anyone else is doing. Your thoughts on the NIT champion being the best of all the losers?
Yeah, I want to like the NIT as a TV show, and I think the NIT has a brand problem. I think Greg, like, arguing with America embodied by Greg, is a tough task because, yeah, how is it framed? If you're not one of the 68 best teams, then you're doing this other thing. And so the question is, how does the NIT revitalize itself? How would you retell the story of what it is? And I think you got to lean all the way in the other direction, right? Can't you, like, premise this on, look, Rick Pitino, the man that I think about in these times, is somebody who I want to see on a sideline wearing an all-white suit, being mad at everything, and possibly having Trump operatives carry out legal grievances to reporters quietly. Just random note, no context there. The point is, though, why can't he do that in a reality show style setting in which he is given something like an advertising opportunity? Why is the NIT trying to be like the NCAA tournament, but worse? Can't it be something else? Can we rebrand it? Can we tell that story a little differently so that it's actually interesting to viewers? That's the opportunity here. America wants to watch live college basketball. And so here's this other tournament. Why aren't they wanting to do it? How would you guys save it? I think that's the question in front of us. How do you save the NIT by rebranding it?
I don't think you can save it. It's a second place tournament. It's a fight for who's the 66th best team in the country.
What is ridiculous. What is saving it? It's just more
gambling.
It's just more gambling options. Like, what do you?
That's why it exists.
It's just more action. So, like, what are you guys being so precious about here?
Right.
Like, it's simply giving you the opportunity to have more action on games that you don't care about because you're just betting on numbers and uniforms.
I'm just saying I fully understand why teams that are left out of the NCAA tournament have their pride and turn down the lower NIT. Okay, I get that.
Okay, and you guys really are being precious and puritanical about some of this stuff where all of it has to be about sports integrity instead of just entertainment. Can it be made for TV? Like, for example, Pablo, the glory days. And tell me, you guys wouldn't like to see this now in football. This is a bygone age right here. I'm going to put up for you something, an old-timey television show that used to be the NFL's fastest man competition.
Oh, wow.
The loser sentenced to 2 more weeks of training.
It's a fair start, and Herschel Walker is first out of the blocks, but here comes Dale Green with that long, smooth, powerful stride. Dale Green wins it. He's yet to be beaten here. It's a fair start, and Rod Woodson is out very well. Willie Gault will have to go if he's going to catch him. He's not going to catch him. Rod Woodson wins it. He moves into the...
Rod Woodson, because Dale Green has won each and every race and gotten faster with each run.
It's a clean start, and Dale Green is out of the blocks like a shot. At 30 yards, he starts to accelerate, and it's that long, smooth, fluid stride that powers Dale Green to victory. He is the Subaru NFL.
Look at the smile on Roy's face.
Ahmad Rashad.
That's Ahmad right. Rashad.
That's right, yes. Brings you back to a time,
look
Roy.
Look at how happy all of you are. Look at the Subaru World's Fastest Man competition.
I like it.
Herschel Walker should not be that fast for how big he was.
No, I think
three
DK,
times bigger
I think
than Dale Green.
DK Metcalf would be that kind of fast if he was doing that right now.
You could bring that back. Tyreek Hill's watching that going, I want that. Bring it back.
That's what I was saying.
Yes. Yeah, everyone back here said Jack.
How do we all know your bit better than you do?
Mm-hmm. You can bring that back. Say the thing.
I like to be inconsistent. I like to surprise you. Uh-huh. Jack.
Oh, there you go.
That kind of thing.
That's my corn cane.
You sound wheezy today in a way. Are you okay with you're not finishing thoughts? It doesn't seem like you have the stamina to have the wind to complete sentences.
Well, I appreciate that.
While saying you'd run
analysis.
A 6 minute mile, by the way.
Well, I think
606. 606.
With a little training, I could.
Listening to Greg Wheeze has given me a solution to save the NIT.
You're welcome.
Okay, tell me you wouldn't watch the NIT if every team had to have its head coach play on the floor with them.
What's wrong with the NIT? It doesn't need any saving.
I'm intrigued, though. I mean,
you want Rick Pitino out there?
It. Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, I'd watch.
I'm telling you, Dan. Hey, there's a game on right now. It's St. John's versus whoever the f*** else. And guess who's playing point guard? Rick Pitino, age 66. You're not watching that immediately?
I am. Laren Yeager with the dunk.
By the way, Greg Cody trying to bring back old things. Listen to this. This is it's an idea he's had for many years. He's done it for many years, and it's a terrible idea. It's the Haiku Challenge about March Madness.
Yes.
And the Haiku Challenge, what's the syllable count on haikus? 575?
575.
Yeah, it's 17, generally 575. Yeah.
All right, so the syllable count is three thoughts or phrases, the first 5 syllables, the second 7 syllables, the third 5 syllables. And Greg Cody, as an example, as a helpful example to his listeners and readers, writes in, Vital smiles a mile. Billis masters the bracket. Laren Yeager weeps.
That's a haiku.
So good.
Bring it. You know, beat that.
Haikuing it.
He has been trying to resurrect the haiku
right.
for about 15 years unsuccessfully.
Yeah, back when I did a blog for the Miami Herald, I had an annual haiku challenge. And it would get 40 or 50 entries, usually the same people entering 20 times, two guys entering 20 times each. But some of them were pretty fun. You know, it's a good challenge, actually, because I think it's the form of poetry that requires you to be the most succinct, obviously. And do you rhyme? Does rhyming matter? You know, people come into a haiku from all different angles, so I enjoy it.
Jack.
Wow.
Haikus and the NIT really catering to a younger audience.
Yep.
I like Greg's. Can I get Greg's poetry power rankings, his final four of poetry forms? Because there are other kinds, and Greg has clearly just seized upon the haiku.
Oh, I think he's only going to give you that one.
Okay, what is, in brevity, though, nothing beats the haiku, right? Like, I know Muhammad Ali, back when he was still Cassius Clay, I think, famously had a two-word poem, which was,
yes.
Me, we. So that's probably the shortest poem on record. But
efficient, yeah.
Look at how disappointed Seinfeld is. Seinfeld,
what's the deal with that?
I'm not sure whether it was terrible. We, me, or me, we, but it is on record as the shortest poem ever written.
Yeah.
Greg, here's some sound of you wheezing. Cody's just general late.
Sounds like a car trying to start, oh like God. A really bad car engine. Like
Cody's just motor. General late. Cody's just general late. Cody's just general late.
Really turning that key, you're like, come on, baby, one more time.
It's an Cody's old just general It's an old late. Car. It's a Studebaker. Cody's just general late.
It feels like the underworld trying to communicate with you.
Cody's just general late.
I like that.
Pablo, quickly. Pablo Torre finds out, what should people be looking for?
Yeah, so all of sports media these days is a debate tournament. Everybody thinks they're the best. Nick Wright, my arch nemesis now, thinks he's the best. Stephen A., Will Kane, all these people. Today's guest on Pablo Torre finds out is the actual best debater in sports. And he just happens to be the guy who's also taking down the NCAA. And so that is the guest. That is the story. That is the man that you should hear from, even though he looks down upon all the gas bags who think, they're better than he is.
The this master
is
the debater. Actually
the greatest. What would be the odds right. on a master debater making an appearance as an expression on Pablo Torre finds out? What would be the betting odds on that?
I believe there's a DraftKings Super Boost about that.
See you later, Pablo. Good seeing you again.
Goodbye.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for occurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text LOSE to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text LOSE to 200-300. That's LOSE to 200-300. LOSE to 200-300.